Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. I'm really happy that you're listening to this episode because I really feel it's so important. And I'm going to be talking about communication problems and verbal abuse after a cheating and just generally about affair recovery. I've supported countless couples around the world to heal from an affair, both individually and then together as a couple doing relationship coaching. When a person cheats in a relationship, it can really rock both individuals to the core. It can create so much mistrust, of course, bring up feelings of anger, rage, resentment, and it can change the way the couple feel about one another, of course. And it can be difficult when the person who has cheated is trying to repair the damage that they've caused and trying to rebuild the relationship and the trust. And of course, it's very difficult for the person who's been cheated on to make sense of it, to go through the grieving period, the shock, the feelings of betrayal. And for some people, it can feel like their whole world has come crashing down on them. And of course, when we feel absolutely, as some people describe it, when I help them individually through my breakthrough sessions and they come to me for a fair recovery individually, they will say things to me like, I'm broken, I'm shattered, I'll never be the same again, I'll never be able to trust, I'll never be able to get over. Would they have ended it if I didn't find out? Would they have chosen them over me? All these kind of questions come up. And they also wonder, have I been a fool? Have I been an idiot? They sometimes attack themselves for being stupid, for being naive. And of course, this just creates more negativity and more stress in their life and in the home. And sometimes they will go into verbal abuse. Verbal abuse to really let all of their frustration out. And they can say really, really hurtful things, of course. Because when we're hurt, when we're angry, when we're in rage, when we're going through grief, we say really awful things if we're in a heightened state. And a lot of people, when they go to that seeing red stage, when they just don't know what they're saying, it's just all coming out. And then, of course, that's very difficult for the person on the receiving end to know how to handle it. Sometimes they feel so guilty already, and they then go into a depression with the verbal abuse because they really hate themselves. And sometimes, you know, I work with that person who's cheated because they've ended up feeling so sad and so worthless that they can sometimes have suicidal thoughts because they absolutely hate what they've done to the person that they love. And if the children have been hurt or caught into it, of course, that makes it even worse. So I'm going to share about a case study, first of all. I've changed the names, obviously, to protect their identity, and they've given me permission anyway. And then I will talk to you about some tips if you're navigating this and are struggling right now. Because I strongly believe that with the right tools, with the right support, with the right individual healing and healing together, that couples can actually see the cheating and affair as a gift. Wow, this really strengthened our relationship. This was a gift because we're now closer than we've ever been before. This is a real gift because I really needed to work on my self-esteem issues, my addiction issues, my low self-worth, my fear of failing, whatever that the fear is. because it can be very difficult, of course, for the person who has done the cheating as well to continuously put up with a lot of verbal abuse where they begin to really hate themselves or lose themselves and slip also into a very negative, anxious, depressed place. So the case study that I'll just share about is with a couple called Reza and Amina, and they found me after searching for anger management in Dubai. We booked an initial call together, and it was there soon evident that there'd been a case of cheating, which contributed to anger and resentment that was a constant, unfortunately, in their relationship. Reza admitted to cheating on Amina a year ago with someone from his workplace. Initially, it started off as some friendly text messages, and then it got out of hand. Amina was aware that he was going into work early, he was spending more time at work, he was having more social work nights out. Amina trusted him at first, she didn't make a fuss when he was working so much, and then one night he left his laptop open. Amina just had this gut feeling, I need to look, something's going on. So she spent that night looking through his emails and noticed that there were highly inappropriate messages between him and this other colleague, and it had been going on for months. She started taking loads of screenshots, forwarding emails to herself, and then closed the laptop. At first, she didn't know how to cope. She was, in her words, a mess. She felt completely lost, so angry, so hurt. She hated him, but she loved him. She felt like she was stupid for believing that he was working late and working hard. She felt that it was so unfair because she does so much for the family. She organises paying all the bills. She organises all the house. She raises their three children with very little help from him. She does everything. And she was supporting him to excel in his career. She supported him when he needed to go to the gym and exercise all the time. She was supporting him with everything from her perspective. And she confronted him and he lied. He told her, no, it's just stupid banter. It doesn't mean anything. It's a joke. And Amina was just so crushed at being lied to because she knew it was more. And then she felt like her husband thought she was stupid. But he was looking at her in the eyes and saying, please, trust me, it's nothing. And so when we talked it all through, from his perspective, yes, he was lying, but when he was saying that it meant nothing, he really meant that. And that's why he kept saying it's nothing. Because to him, having the shock of his wife finding out, he really realised quickly, what on earth have I done? Why have I created this pattern? And so he wanted to work with me to get to the root of what led him to get hooked on someone else and to use this other person as an escape. So they decided that because they'd loved each other, because they'd been together since university and they'd grown up together really, that they did really want to make it work. And they also really believed in marriages for life. The months that followed were extremely difficult for both Amina and Reza. Reza felt so guilty about what happened and was so thankful that Amina was giving him another chance. It was becoming really difficult for him to understand how to help her though, because he wanted to not talk about it, not go over the past, and focus on rebuilding, which is great after you've gone through all of the questions, after you've given the other person the answers. They need to have peace of mind, and the less you tell them, the more they will be overthinking everything, trying to put the puzzles together, becoming like a detective. Their mind will not shut off. They will wake up in the night and check things and check dates and check emails and check where they were and check where you were and check everything. So the more information you can give will save them having those nights where they wake up in a panic or their unconscious mind wakes them up and says, hang on a minute, what happened when he went away on this trip? Was it really a trip? Where was I? What was I doing? Were we communicating that day? What date was it? Let me check my emails, let me check my WhatsApp, let me check whatever messaging service you use. So this is how the spiral can create a stronger, more painful reaction if information is withheld. And so communication is, of course, really key. Amina really went into extreme rage. And it was really hard for her to function in every day-to-day life. When she would go to a restaurant or to a mall with her children or with her husband, she would look at couples and she would think, ah, he's probably cheating on you. I wonder if he is cheating on you. I wonder if they're a couple or if they're the affair partner. And she saw love and romance as fake. She couldn't watch TV in the same way. She thought all romance is just a load of rubbish. She really struggled to be kind to Reza. There were moments where she felt, I love him and I really want this to work. But to her, every day was a constant reminder of how hard she felt that she had loved him and how he didn't love her, he didn't want her. Her mind was filled with these negative thoughts. And everything he did wrong would trigger him. So for example, something like not taking out the garbage on the day, Amina's anger would escalate from 0 to 100 within seconds because she had just so much of this pent-up anger inside. And she would lash out at the smallest thing, calling him names such as incompetent fool, you're not capable of doing anything, you've ruined us, you've ruined the kid's life, you've destroyed everything, you've ruined my life. And of course, there were moments where they were having a really great time together, a really great weekend, and then unfortunately, Amina couldn't help it. She would have some really horrifying thoughts or images, and she would need to bring it up. And Reza would get really impatient and aggressive back because he was so tired. Of course, at the beginning, he was very patient. And after 3 or 4 weeks, his patience started to dwindle. And this made Amina even more angry because she felt he had made her like this. He had made her into a crazy person and he wasn't helping her. He was getting irritated. How dare he? She was thinking. And both began to lose hope. Both began to believe that maybe it's better that they separate. Maybe that's the only way to have peace. Amina just felt so insecure and alone. She felt like she was losing her mind. She felt like she had lost the happy, calm, fun, caring Amina. She also blamed herself for maybe not being good enough, not being up for sex enough. And this made her angry again. Why should she blame herself? So she was conflicted and confused and definitely consumed. Neither of them knew what to do. Reza was tired of being verbally attacked daily. He started antidepressants and was finding it harder and harder to respect himself. And Amina felt terrible also. She felt so guilty at attacking Reza. She hated the person that she'd become. She'd never experienced anything like this before. The panic, the frustration, it was something new to her. So when they came to me, I could clearly see that the individual work would be the best to start with. So I first worked with Amina. We did a 3-day breakthrough session to restore the calmness and peace and to focus on what she really wanted. It was clear that the affair had awakened many horrible experiences that she went through as a child. Being ignored by her mum, being bullied by her older brother, where she felt, in both cases, helpless, unsafe, and disregarded. So releasing these strong emotions, helping her to feel more confident in herself, in her appearance, and discussing a plan for her to decide, does she want to create a new relationship with Reza, or does she want to move on? Because there's no point in trying to get back to how things were. The experience of life, we change anyway, and the experience of cheating and an affair to a couple, it changes. It changes the dynamic, it changes the relationship, it changes people, and so hopefully most people come out stronger, wiser, knowing what they want. They've done a lot of research on relationships, they've done a lot of research on recovery and how to make things better, and it's about creating that new, happier home environment, loving relationship, putting the romance back in, putting the passion back into the sex, and starting again, deciding to create a new relationship. And sometimes with couples I do, we make new vows. We redo an online wedding ceremony. And sometimes they go off and they do that. And with me, it's of course, it's not a proper ceremony, but it's more of like a loving testimonial to each other. And then often couples say, look, if this goes well with this new relationship that we're creating, these new communication tools, and we've both healed individually, then we'll you know, book a really nice holiday, and we'll do a wedding vow renewal, which is a really lovely thing. Sometimes couples will ask their husband or wife to propose to them again. They want a new proposal, which again is a lovely thing, and a new honeymoon. So they're all nice things that you can do once you've decided that this is what you want, and you've decided that you want to clear the past individually. With the person that's cheated, often I help them to just really get to the root of why they have done it. Is it an addiction? Are they looking to escape? Do they have low self-esteem? How could they prevent it from happening again? What was it about this other person that captivated them? What did they lie to themselves to be able to do it, if it was more than a one-time thing? And this can then really help. Of course, if there's drugs and alcohol involved, like how to address that, how to put some barriers and some boundaries and some limits so that that will never happen again. This can help the couple move forward. Unfortunately, if couples don't decide that they're ready to break free, that they're ready to create a new relationship, that they're ready to let go of the past, it can come up. And when we do the sort of creating a new relationship, of course, part of that is handling, okay, what will you both do if triggers come up? Because what happens to the unconscious mind when a really extremely significant emotional event happens is it goes into overdrive, panic mode. And so it really wants to protect you, because our unconscious mind always wants to do everything to protect us. And it holds all of our memories, all of our emotions, all of our beliefs, all of our values. And if all of these have been breached, our beliefs, our values, if we've got loaded emotions with the memories of discovering everything, then it will want to protect you, so it will keep sending warning signals. So for the person that's recovering, it will say, warning, what about this? What if they do this again? What if they say this? And it just will go into overdrive, and that's when people get panic attacks. And this can happen, of course, without cheating. It could be another emotional significant event. And if this emotional significant event of the cheating has awakened other painful events, where you've been maybe betrayed before, lied to before, where you felt helpless, where you felt trapped, where you felt wronged, it can awaken all of this. And then your mind will just want to keep repeating the negative thoughts to you, because it's saying to you, please be careful, please pay attention, help, I don't want you to get hurt again, we can't go through this again. So it's trying to sort of bring these up. And this is often why, when people are recovering from an affair, they get over the first 6 months and they think, great, I'm doing great. Or they go over the first 8 months or a year, they think, yeah, I'm getting better. And then all of a sudden, the unconscious mind will bring up emotions, negative thoughts, big triggers. Because when we're in a good place, our mind brings up things to be resolved. Because it's not helpful to hold on to negative emotions from the past. It's not helpful, it actually harms the body to hold on to anger, sadness, fear, guilt, hurt, and all these other kind of emotions in our mind, because it can manifest in illnesses in the body, it can make someone feel tired and weak. And so when our mind thinks we're ready to handle things, it will bring them up for resolution. And it's doing that to protect us. Of course, it doesn't feel like that at the time. It can feel like, am I going crazy? I don't understand. I was just so happy. And then why on earth now am I just overwhelmed with these feelings again? And so having tools to release these emotions, having tools to handle them in a more positive way is really essential. So whether you work with me or whether you find someone else that you like and that you trust and has tools and tips, it's not just talking therapy. Going over everything reinforces the problem. If you think over everything, if you talk over everything that's happened, it can reinforce the pattern. So that's why I say to couples at the beginning, talk through everything, get it all out. But then repeating of the past doesn't help, because you need to be able to stop that. Otherwise, you'll both be reliving it. And then that reinforces it into the mind. Yes, there's a problem. Yes, I feel bad. Yes. And then it makes the emotions stay rather than to be released. So look at ways to handle emotions. Look at ways to release emotions. Look at ways to change any decisions that are made. When emotionally significant events happen, we often make decisions. And these decisions can be helpful or unhelpful. Unhelpful decisions like, I'm not good enough, I'm bad, I'm rejected, I'll never be enough, I'm unloved, I hate them, I'll never forget, I'll never forgive, I'll never move past, I'll never trust again. Those beliefs, often, in my experience, when I help people to release them, they feel so much better, because holding on to them is limiting their daily happiness, their daily peace, their day-to-day enjoyment of life. Because they're unable, with those kind of beliefs, to have a loving relationship, to live in the present moment. They're living in the past. And no one, unfortunately, can release and help you release your emotions and help you release any decisions that were made that don't support you unless you want to. And this is where sometimes couples can fall into the mistake on affair recovery, is they're waiting for the person that has cheated to be absolutely perfect with their behavior for a sustained period of time, sometimes a lifetime, and for them to sit back and watch and see if they want to then engage in the relationship. They're waiting for their inside to be fixed by outside actions of other people. And that doesn't work, unfortunately. It would be great if it did, but it doesn't. The only way to fix what's going on in the inside, the images, the thoughts, the emotions, is to do the work on ourselves. When we look outside to solve the inner problems, this is where we get stuck. And of course, I'm not saying that the person who has cheated doesn't need to be very loving, very compassionate, very kind, very honest, stick to their word. If they say they're going to do something, they do it. If they say they're going to be home at a certain time, they are. If they say they're going to give you access to their phone or their emails willingly, they do so, that they're true to what they say. Because sometimes I do these breakthrough sessions with people that are compulsive liars. And this is really challenging because it can be really extremely hard, of course, for people to move on if they just are just so scared of their partner lying. So when I do them for the person that lies, it's getting to the root of, okay, when did you learn the pattern of lying? Most people I've worked with, it starts early on as a coping mechanism to either be liked by parents, be liked by teachers, fit in with other people. They learn, lie to be loved, lie to be liked, lie to survive, lie to escape pain. And I'm not making excuses for lying, I'm just saying that's often how it starts. So I talked a lot here about some of the things that can happen, and now let's talk about some tips for you. So specifically talking about verbal abuse and affairs. First of all, look at, is the verbal abuse a constant in the relationship? Has the verbal abuse been there at the beginning of the relationship, even before the affair? Because many studies have shown that verbal abuse does contribute to low self-esteem. And low self-esteem is one of the biggest triggers that I come across for people looking for attention outside of the relationship. They feel insecure in themselves, and then they want to go and see, am I attractive? Am I desirable? Or they feel very insecure, and someone comes along and pays them attention, and they play with it because they love how the other person is making them feel, because they can't make themselves feel that good on their own. So again, just as like I was mentioning earlier, it's that case of people having low self-esteem issues or internal issues, and they're looking outside for people to give them what they are missing it from the inside, which is not sustainable. We can't look outside of us for solutions. So if verbal abuse is a constant in the relationship, why is that? Where is that coming from? When was that pattern learned? What are you going to do to change it? Create a new way of communicating. Learn new communication tools if you need to. Release repressed anger. Deal with resentment. Deal with negative thinking. Deal with anxiety. Whatever causes verbal abuse, it has to be dealt with. There's always a cause. And getting to the cause and clearing that is essential. So what happens if verbal abuse is just started as a result of the cheating? It's not unusual for couples to argue a lot more, for really hurtful things to come out after the discovery of an affair. And this is actually quite normal and natural in the first 1 to 4 weeks. Sometimes for some people it can carry on a bit longer. Many describe it to me like they feel that the rug has been ripped up from underneath them, and they've fallen crashing to the floor. And some people describe it that they just want to be swallowed up in a hole and just forget everything. They don't want to be themselves. They don't want to be living their lives. They don't want to go through the days. Many find that they cannot sleep, eat, or think. The mind is on overdrive. They feel shaken and totally out of sorts. Anger, fear, rage, regret, resentment take over. And there has to be patience for this. Of course, I never advocate angry outbursts, verbal abuse, hurtful comments. However, experience doing this has shown me that when people love so much, are hurt so much, the worst comes out. And even though it's draining and demoralizing, compassion, patience is really needed. And hopefully if you can give that compassion and patience, it will last less than a month. Sometimes it can last up to 3 months with episodes. But even if it stops after 1 month, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be an angry outburst in the future if it's not dealt with, if things aren't addressed, and if the person hasn't given full disclosure. If they find out that they've been lied to again, if there's other triggers that come up, or if the person is struggling to let it go, because as I mentioned, their unconscious mind is in that overdrive of panic and rage and anger, and it's just taking over them. So the next step that I really recommend for whatever situation you're in is to understand what each other needs. Take some time to see, what do you need to have in a relationship to feel loved, honoured, happy, secure? What do you need through this affair recovery journey to feel safe, protected and loved? And then come together and work through some actions that you can put in place on a weekly basis, on a daily basis if possible, to rebuild the trust, rebuild the connection. It's not fair to expect someone to just get over it without any positive actions and steps. It's not possible for most people, at the beginning especially, to just put it in a box and say, I'm never going to ever talk about it again. It's natural for people to want to be able to talk about it. So I highly recommend in the first few weeks being able and available for them to talk about it several times a week. And then that lessens. And then it becomes when they need to, let's say once a week, once every few weeks, once a month, just to, if anything comes up or if a trigger comes up, deal with it. And it's a really good conversation to have, is to talk about how you're going to handle triggers, how you're going to handle these kind of things. Having empathy for one another, which I've talked about a lot throughout the whole of this episode, is also crucial. And I just wanted to highlight it again. I really love to believe that only hurt people hurt. And when we remember that hurt people hurt others, and this isn't saying that it makes the behavior right or even justifiable. It just means that they're obviously hurting and not in a good place. And this is often sometimes when people cheat. They're hurting and they're not feeling good in themselves, and they're looking for an outside fix for their happiness or for their uncomfortable feelings, and they're hurting to do that, to hurt someone else. And the person that's been cheated on is hurting so much that they are hurting back. So when you can just always remember that, I find it's really helpful. And it's really great even for all things in life. If people do hurt me, I think, okay, they're hurting. And when I think about it like that, I can always see, yes, I can actually see, yeah, they really are. We all know what it's like when we're really tired, when we're not well, when we've had a really stressful day. We're snappy. We're horrible. And that's because we're hurting. So giving people love, reassurance, kindness, showing them that you accept their feelings, you accept them, is a loving thing to do. Of course, there also has to be an end point. Cannot be taking verbal abuse and other forms of abuse. If that's happening, of course, you need to set healthy boundaries for yourself, because otherwise it will affect your inner self, and then that will not be good for you, for the family, for the relationship. Now, I know a lot of the things I've said today is so basic. You already know it, and if you're going through the aftermath of an affair, you are living this, some of these things that I've said, maybe. And so whilst it's obvious, sometimes we just really need to hear how to repair, that there is hope, that things can change, and that if you feel right now that you're stuck, there's no hope, that you're going crazy, that you don't know what to do, then I hope this is in some way useful to you. If you've enjoyed any of my podcasts, I'd be so grateful if you could leave a rating and review on the podcast app that you're listening to. And if you are interested in finding out more about my individual breakthrough programs or working with me one-on-one for couple support, then you can go to my website, nicolabeer.com. There's the option to book a free introduction call, and as well as lots of other information on my audio programs, on the shop page and different things like that. And I wish you all the best. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.